Well, good morning, everyone. I'm so excited that you're here this morning at Noble Assembly of God. I just ask that you stand with us. We're going to spend a little time thanking Jesus for Resurrection Sunday, for the fact that we get to celebrate that he's no longer in the grave. What a happy day today is, right?
You have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day. Wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. When I stand in that place, free at last, meeting face to face, you are mine. Endless joy, perfect peace, earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive.
How many of you are happy today? Come on. This is a day to be happy because the Lord is risen. There's a lot of people in this world today serving things that aren't, they're not even alive. Matter of fact, they bring death to them. There's a lot of people serving gods that aren't real gods and they're dead, but we serve the one true God who died on the cross for us. For 3 days later, the promise came true when the stone was rolled away. And he was risen. Today, we celebrate the fact that he was risen. And when doing so, we celebrate the victory that he's claimed for us, for you and for me. And so it should be a happy day. It should be a day just like yesterday when I watched online as the girls' women's gymnastics team for OU, they were celebrating because they won the national championship. They got a trophy and they came back and they won. But here's the deal. We've won not for something temporal, not for some trophy or some medal, but we've won victory over death. And it's an eternal. Amen. 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 Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you today that what a happy day this is, that we serve you who are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords, that you being risen has claimed victory for an eternity for us. Lord, for your sons and daughters who have asked you into their heart and are serving you from this day forward, Lord, what a happy day it is. And Lord, we ask for your presence to be in this place today. Lord, would you pour out your spirit amongst your people? And Lord, may today be a day of celebration. Oh, what a happy day. The day that our Lord raised from the dead and stood triumphantly over sin and death. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Actually, we're going to greet, aren't we? Sorry. Get back up and greet someone really quick. Get up and greet someone.
Hey, thanks for helping me get this ready. My kids love Easter.
Who doesn't love Easter, am I right?
Yeah, that's true. But if you think about it, leading up to that first Easter, Jesus had it pretty rough.
Wow, never really thought of that. I wonder whatever happened to that guy.
Well, you know, he died on the cross.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
No, that's a different guy. I'm thinking of the Jesus that, what's his last name?
No. It's the same guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yep. I just never connected the two together before. Jesus on a cross. I wonder whatever happened to that guy.
He came back to life. 3 days later.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, we're still talking about tomb Jesus.
Yeah.
That's the same guy?
Yeah, he died on the cross for our sins.
No, that's a different Jesus.
No, same one. Died on the cross, was buried in the tomb, came back to life, and now he sits at the right hand of God.
Wait, cross Jesus is the same as right hand of God Jesus?
Yeah.
Not separate Jesuses?
There's no separate Jesuses.
I just never put them all together before.
No, it's still one guy.
Wait, you understand what this means, don't you? One guy did all of that? I mean, that changes history. That changes everything. That is big. He deserves more than just jelly beans for his birthday. Wait, so the Easter Bunny is the...
No.
Got it.
Pastor and I literally had that conversation this week, so... He also told me that the tooth fairy wasn't connected anywhere into the story. So, no. It's good to laugh in church, amen? It's good to be happy. Scripture says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Is our strength. How many sometimes you just need some strength? Come on. Well, may the joy of the Lord be your strength this week. We want to just say welcome to everyone. Thanks for being a part of Easter service. We had a tremendous outreach yesterday and had a full room of folks as we did our Easter egg hunt. And I want to say welcome today. If you are a visitor, maybe this is your first time here, or maybe your second time here, maybe you've never been here before, would you do us a favor and grab the card in the seat back in front of you and fill it out, and then just place that card in the offering bag. It's going to pass in just a little bit here, and give us a record of your attendance and helps us to know you came to visit with us. And we just want to say once again, welcome. We're so glad that you are here. And if you've been here many, many times, but maybe you haven't seen us lately, we're so glad you're back. Pastor's still here, and he's still not behaving. So, I had that wrong. Pastor's still here, and I'm still not behaving. But, yeah, that was the way it was supposed to go. There you go. And it's not the one time I didn't really need a clap. Thank you. All the things I've said before, and that's what you're going to clap for? Okay. I got a few announcements for you this morning. First of all, you know that we've been doing the Connect Group connections every other week. Next Sunday night is movie night. We're gonna have popcorn and drinks, and it's all free. We're gonna show a movie in here, and the movie we're gonna show is one that just came out of the theater. It's called American Underdog. It's the story of Kurt Warner, who was the quarterback for the St. Louis Rams, who they end up. Ends up winning the Super Bowl, but his life doesn't start out like most, where he just gets drafted really high and things going. And so you're going to get to see how the Lord worked through his life. And so next week in the Sunday morning service, we'll be showing a trailer to kind of give you a teaser about that. But we'd love for you to come be a part of that. It'll start at 5:00. We'll have a movie in here and popcorn and drinks and everything. It's going to be a great time. Also, our young people are going on missions trip once again this summer in July. To Denver. And so our major fundraiser is coming up. It's our giant garage sale. We make most of our money that helps us to get on this trip on this fundraiser. And so we are now taking donations. Many of you have asked. We've already got a bunch in the youth room and have room for more. Contrary to popular belief, and so if you have something you'd like to donate, and you can drop it off anytime during the week while we have office hours. You can bring it on a church day if that makes it more convenient for you, or you can call the church office and coordinate with me if there's some bigger items that you need help with, and we'd be happy to help you to get those here. And then last but not least, the other announcement I want to share with you is that youth camp and kids camps are coming up. Kids camps are for 8 to 12 year olds. It's elementary camp for our elementary kids. Pastor Chad, our children's pastor, does that one. And the dates for kids camp is July 25th through the 29th. And then youth camp is for 6th grade to 12th grade. It's our junior and high school students. And that's with me. And that'll be July 11th through the 15th. Did I get that right? Not July, June. Is it 13th? Okay, 13th through the 17th, all right? It's right in that week there. And anyway, if you'd like to go, we have spots, but they're limited. Come see me or Pastor Chad, and we'll get you signed up for that. We're going to have a great time this summer. We're going to have a great time this summer. I'm going to ask the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. Amen. Once again, we had a tremendous, tremendous time at our Easter outreach. Lots and lots of people here. And even though it was a little windy, and so the eggs were a little further than they should have been. That's not where they started. That's just where they ended. A lot of the prize eggs did not stay hidden, but that's okay. We had a lot of fun. And I want to say thank you for those who came and volunteered and were a part of that. We can't do it without you. And our greatest hope is that 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 our community would see the love of Jesus Christ through all that we do. And hopefully yesterday they experienced what we just talked about, the joy of the Lord, as we hunted Easter eggs and heard the story of the resurrection and Easter, and some people won bikes and other things. We hope that they felt the love of the Lord too. Amen. Amen. Lord, we pray right now for the tithe and for the offering. We thank you, Lord, that you would multiply it. You'd bless it. We thank you for every person that's in this place today. We pray, Lord, that you would just place your hand of blessing upon them. Lord, thank you for today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I was hopeless, I knew I was lost. Death and darkness were my only song. I needed someone to come rescue me. Then mercy heard my plea. Lord, you found me, you healed me. You called me from the grave. You gave me a real love. I thank you, Jesus. You washed my sins away. Oh, now I'm living like I'm forgiven. You came and set me free. And that's what your mercy did for me. Your mercy did for me.
Mercy this morning, that he gave it all. He didn't have to, but he gave it all for us.
On the day
that death surrendered to the mighty cross of Jesus Christ, the earth would shake beneath the weight of darkened skies, and on his brow a crown of sorrow. For a king whose weakness was our strength, no word he spoke, his love was shown for all to see. No, the cross.
Earth to live a life to show us how to live and to be an example, and then you laid your life down, but like you promised, you rose in 3 days. And today you're worthy of all the praise and all the glory. We just shout your name, Jesus, today, for there is power in your name. And we stand in faith believing that through the name of Jesus, that the deaf will hear, the lame will walk, the blind will see, because there is power in your name. And what a worthy, what a wonderful, what an awesome name it is. Thank you, Jesus. It was my cross you bore, so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. And worthy is your name, Jesus, and you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name, and worthy is your name. Stand amazed in your love undeniable. Your grace goes on, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus, and you deserve the praise.
Is his name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We want to remember the Turner family. Linda Turner passed away on Good Friday, so that was a Good Friday for her, for sure. She has been praying to go to heaven for a long time, so we want to pray for her family, her son, and other family members. Her service will be this Thursday at 11 a.m. at McMahon's Funeral Home. So remember her family in prayer. Glenda Humphrey is going to have surgery tomorrow morning on her knee. We want to pray for her. And how many of you got a need on your heart today? Let me just see your hand. Father, we lift up together every single need in this place. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you have risen from the dead. You ascended back to heaven. And you were reseated beside your Father at his right hand. You are seated there, Lord, to make intercession for us, to pray for us. And Lord, I thank you today that you've told us to call upon you and you will answer, to present our needs to you, to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition, present our requests to you. So Lord, every need today we lift to you. We do pray for the Turner family. We thank you, Lord, that Linda got her wish to go to heaven to be with you after being so long confined in a nursing home. We pray, Father God, that you would be with her family today, Dustin and the grandchildren. Lord, we just pray that you would just keep your hand upon them as we celebrate her life and have her service on Thursday. We pray, God, you'd be with Glenda tomorrow as she has surgery. I pray that you just keep your hand upon her. Let it be successful. And we do pray for our nation. We pray for our country. We pray, Lord, that you would bring about a great spiritual awakening once again in this United States of America. Lord, we just lift up this world to you and what's happening in Ukraine and Russia. We just pray, Father God, that your will be done, that you protect and comfort those who've lost lives. We just thank you, God. Be with us on this Easter Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This is what they felt like when it happened. And today, it's how we should feel too. Because what it meant for them, it means for us.
And amen and amen to that. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. He is risen indeed. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. It is good to see you here this morning. What a wonderful looking crowd. Thank you for being here on Easter Sunday. What a joy to see you and family members with you this morning. Amen. Title of the message this morning, as you see on the screen, is One More Day. One More Day. Matthew 27, verse 62. Are you there? The next day on the Sabbath, the leading priests and Pharisees went to see Pilate. They told him, "Sir, we remember what that deceiver once said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise from the dead. So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing his body and then telling everyone he was raised from the dead. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at first. Pilate replied, "Take guards and secure it the best you can." So they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it. Father God, we just pray for your blessing and your anointing upon the message this morning, Lord. I just pray that you would speak to hearts. You know where each person is in their walk with you. And I just pray that lives are changed, touched, and drawn closer to you today. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jesus was crucified, of course, on Friday to pay the penalty for our sins, to pay our sin debt. Our debt was marked paid in full. Don't you like it when you go to maybe pick up something, or maybe you bought something that's pretty pricey and you get there and the bill is marked paid in full? You thought, wow, somebody paid for it already. Well, that's the way it is with Jesus. Our salvation is paid for in full. Reminds me of an old chorus that says, "He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to come and wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay." Can you say amen? Verse 62 of the text that we just read says, "The next day," everybody say day. "The next day on the Sabbath," which was Saturday, "the leading priests and Pharisees went to see Pilate." And so basically they said to Pilate, "Hey, we need to seal the tomb because we remember that the deceiver said that he was going to rise from the dead in 3 days. How many of you know when a person's eyes are not open, they don't value Jesus right? They don't title him right. They called him the deceiver. He said that he's going to rise from the dead. So we think it would be a good idea if you would go and seal the tomb, and that would keep the disciples from stealing it, which they might do. And then if that happens, we're worse off than we would be." So Governor Pilate, in one more day, it will be 3 days, one more day to keep the tomb sealed, and the guards can then go home. Well, while the religious leaders were saying this to Pilate on earth, the angels in heaven and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit was saying this up in heaven: "One more day and God the Son is coming back out of the tomb." Just one more day. In heaven, the angels are declaring that. One more day and he's going to be out of the tomb. One more day and God's salvation plan will be complete for all ages. One more day and Christ's mission on earth is finished. Furthermore, while the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which is why they were sad, you see, were talking with Pilate on earth, and while the angels and the God the Holy Spirit and God the Father were talking in heaven, I can just imagine that Jesus was talking to some Old Testament saints in paradise. You see, before Jesus died and was resurrected, the saints would go to a holding place called paradise, which was a place that you would be held, in which that place is empty now because the Lord emptied it. He went down and he took everybody that was in paradise and took them to heaven. So you can just imagine Jesus is in a place called paradise. Remember what he told the thief. When the thief said, "Remember me," he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise. You'll be with me in that holding place somewhere under the earth. I don't exactly know where it's at. There's all kinds of theological different ideas about that. But a place, a holding place there, doesn't really matter. But I can imagine Jesus talking with the saints, including the latest arrival, which was the thief on the cross. He was the newest arrival. He had just died with Jesus. I can just imagine Jesus down there talking to them, say, "Hey guys, one more day and we're out of here. One more day and you're going to my house." And Jesus led captivity captive and took them to heaven. Just one more day. Elijah, Elisha, are you guys ready? Moses, are you ready? Noah, are you ready? Ruth, are you and Boaz ready? Is your great-grandson, King David, ready to go to heaven and be with me up in heaven and get out of paradise here? And King David, are you ready to go and see what happens to a person that loves you with all their heart and is a man after God's own heart? You want to see what God has in store for a person who loves you with all their heart? One by one, all the saints in paradise were shouting, yes, we're ready. One more day, just one more day. And that thief, how wonderful and thankful he was that moments before he died, he looked at Jesus and said, Jesus, remember me. I can also recall other occasions in the Bible, the Word of God, where the thought of one more day occurred. Everybody say that with me. One more day. I want you to get that in your head today. One more day. Let's look at some of these places and make application to our lives today. Number one, Pharaoh and the frogs. I don't think I've ever talked about Pharaoh and the frogs on Easter Sunday, but here goes. Way back in the book of Exodus, chapter number 8, of course, it's talking about the plagues, the 10 plagues. One of those plagues was the plague of the frogs. To try to get Pharaoh to change his mind to let God's people go. There are frogs everywhere. There are frogs in their beds, frogs in their food, frogs in their chairs. Frogs are covering the land. I mean, you can read it there. We're not going to take the time to read the first part of chapter 8. The land is swarming with frogs, even in the palace. The frogs are even in the ovens. In the bowls, everywhere. The whole land is filled with frogs. But look at verse 8. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and begged, plead with the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people. I will let your people go so they can offer sacrifices to the Lord. You set the time, Moses replied. Tell me when you want me to pray for you, your officials, and your people. Then you and your houses will be rid of the frogs. They will remain only in the Nile River. Sounds like a good deal. Moses is telling him, Pharaoh, you pray. You set the time. You tell me when. You tell me when, and I will pray for you and all the land to be rid of all the frogs. Here's the most ridiculous words. Verse 10. Do it tomorrow. Do it tomorrow, Pharaoh said. All right, Moses replied, it will be as you have said. Then you will know that there is no one like our God. The frogs will leave you and your houses, your officials and your people. They will remain only in the Nile River. The real crazy thing and clincher of those passage of verses is he says, do it tomorrow. In other words, I'll take one more day with all these jillions of frogs everywhere. Then you can pray for us to be delivered. But give us one more day with the frogs. How many people choose to live just one more day in the mess of their life? In the misery of what's happening in their life. They just say, oh, I'll just do one more day with the frogs of my life. One more day with what's happening. When the Lord stands ready to deliver you and give you life and life more what? Abundantly. We don't need to wait another day. Friend, you don't need to wait another day. Jesus has risen from the dead. He has the power to set you free. You don't have to live in the miserable condition of your life any longer. You don't have to spend one more day with the frogs. The resurrection of Christ enabled God to take your minuses and turn them to a plus. from minus to plus, to give you hope, to give you a future. Don't wait one more day. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. Don't wait another moment. Don't let the devil cheat you of what God wants to give you. The peace and the joy of knowing that your sins are forgiven, that your name is in the book, that you're on your way to heaven, that all is good and all is great. Amen. So Pharaoh and the frogs, one more day. Don't understand it. Secondly, Felix and the faithful Paul. Acts chapter 24, verses 24 and 25. Paul is being questioned for what he's doing and preaching for the Lord, and he's gotten arrested, and he's before different governors and kings and all that, and one of the guys that was questioning him was Governor Felix. In verse 24 and 25 of Acts 24 says, a few days later, Felix came back with his wife, Drusilla, who was Jewish. Sending for Paul, they listened as he told them about faith in Christ Jesus. Just like I'm doing you telling you today about faith in Christ. As he reasoned with them about righteousness and self-control and the coming day of judgment, Felix became frightened. Go away for now, he replied. When it is more convenient, I'll call for you again. Paul is reasoning, talking to Governor Felix and his wife, Drusilla, about the Lord, about faith, about righteousness, about the coming judgment, things that are going to happen for sure in his life, her family. And he's talking to him about the resurrection and all the different things related to Christianity. And Felix becomes frightened. Why do you think Felix becomes frightened? I'll tell you why, because he's under conviction. The Holy Spirit is ministering to Felix. The Holy Spirit is knocking on Felix's door, the door of his heart. But he sends Paul away because basically he says, Paul, I need one more day. I need at least one more day to think about all this righteousness and coming day of judgment stuff that you've been telling me about. I need another day to think about it. I need one more day. So come back at another time. Another day will be more convenient for me and my wife to consider your words about faith in Christ Jesus. Another day. We'll hear you on another day. And so it is today. That people think they need another day to be concerned for their souls. I'll think about that on another day. I hear what you're saying. I understand things that the Bible talks about. I know about Christ. I know about his death and resurrection. I know about all that, but I just need another day. I need some more time to think about that. So just give me one more day. And yet, how many people have never gotten around to that one more day? And they fall headlong into eternity without Christ. I wonder how many people that are buried somewhere in a cemetery here in our land, around our town and other places, had said to themselves, oh, I'll get to that. I'll get to that faith stuff. I'll get to that Jesus stuff another day. I don't have time for that right now. You know, and then something happened and their life was taken and today they don't have another chance. Felix, the Bible says, would send for Paul quite often and talk with him. He would send for him quite often. So, like I said, he was under conviction. He wanted to know more about this thing of following Christ and repenting and believing and all that stuff, but he just didn't get around to that. Hebrews 9:27 and 28 says this, "And just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment, so also Christ died once for all time as a scripture, as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him." Basically, those verses say, it's appointed unto man once to die, then we face God. We have to be ready to face God. We can't keep saying, one more day, one more service, next week, next year. When I'm 60, like Pastor Steve, I'll think about it. When I get older, I'll think about it. There is only so much time that the Lord will give a person to choose to be saved. We only have so many opportunities. You can't keep saying one more day. Eventually, it will be one day too late. Amen? And that thought leads me to the third thought of one more day, and that is the flood and the foreboding Noah. The flood and the foreboding of Noah. I want to read three scriptures concerning this. First of all, in Matthew chapter 24. In verses 36 through 39, Jesus has been asked when he's coming again. And he has a long chapter or two there of things he says. But right there in the middle of what he says, "However, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes." And then in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "And God did not spare the ancient world except for Noah and the seven others in his family. Noah warned the world of God's righteous judgment, so God protected Noah when he destroyed the world of ungodly people with a vast flood." Genesis, go back to where it's actually recorded. Genesis chapter 7, beginning at verse 11. "When Noah was 600 years old, on the 17th day of the second month, all the underground waters erupted from the earth, and the rain fell in mighty torrents from the sky. The rain continued to fall for 40 days and 40 nights. That very day, Noah had gone into the boat with his wife and his son, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. With them in the boat were pairs of every kind of animal, domestic and wild, large and small, along with birds of every kind. Two by two, they came into the boat, representing every living thing that breathes. A male and female of each kind entered, just as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord closed the door behind them." The Lord closed the door behind them. "For 100 years, Noah," who was a preacher, it says in another place that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So while he was also building the ark, I have to believe he was preaching. "For 100 years, his family built an ark and warned of God's judgment that would be coming. Yet, it seems that no one listened." I use the word foreboding. Foreboding means warning, prediction, foretelling, prophecy, and so on. So Noah's foreboding was apparently met with ridicule, scorn, and unbelief, clear up until the 17th day of the second month when Noah was 600 years old. 17th day of the second month when Noah was 600 years old, the rain started coming. On that day, the flood began and the rain fell for 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing was swept away. Only the animals in the ark and Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives were on board. Everything else was destroyed. Had the people only known on the 16th day of the second month of Noah's 600th year that they only had one more day, they might have changed their mind. They might have gotten saved if they would have realized on the 16th day of the second month. Because on the 17th day of the second month, the rain began to fall. Just as they had one more day and didn't know it, so too will the world have one more day and not know it when Jesus comes back again. Someday, it's only going to be 24 hours later that Jesus will come. But we don't know when that day is. It could be today. What time is it? 11:26? By 11:26 tomorrow morning, Jesus may have come. I don't know. We don't know the day or the hour. We don't know when we're going to have one more day. So in conclusion this morning, I preach to you, just as Noah preached to his generation, that we must be ready. We must be ready. The ark of salvation, Jesus Christ, is still open. And the Bible says he wants everybody aboard. The Bible says God is not willing that any should what? Perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord wants everybody to go to heaven. He doesn't want anyone to perish without God. Yet God will never force anyone to serve him. God will never force a person to get saved. I got a few people I'd like to force to get saved. Do you? I wish I could force a few people that I know that I've been praying for that don't know Jesus. I wish I could force them to get saved, but unfortunately it doesn't work that way. And then they can thank me later, right? When we're all in heaven, say, oh, thank you, Pastor. Thank you for forcing me. Thank you for dragging me to the altar, slamming my head on the altar and praying with me. Thank you. Thank you. I got a knot on my head, but I thank you for it. I say, you can thank me later. But it doesn't work that way. We have to choose. We have to make up our own mind to get aboard the ark. Just as there was an ark in Noah's day full of animals and his family, that the door and the ramp, if you can imagine the ramp out there and they walked up, there was a door there. Noah never shut the door. Noah didn't have his son, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, shut the door. He didn't use some elephants and tie a rope to their tail and let them pull the door shut. Never thought about it like that. The Bible says God shut the door. God shut the door. God said, time is up. Nobody's else going to get in. The rain's about to start. And the same is true. The Bible says, as it was in Noah's day, so will it be at the end of days, which we're in those days. Then God's going to say, the door is shut. The ark of salvation is open, but it won't always be. The door will be shut, and here's the deal. We never know when we will only have one more day. We never know. Years ago, I heard a song, and Don, I'm going to sing this song, Don. I'm just going to sing it a cappella. But I've always loved this song. It goes like this. If my time on earth is gone and I am young And I see God's people dying. I want to help them. For if Jesus comes tomorrow, I'd have just one more day. If you have no peace with Jesus, the Son of God, the angels must be crying. His heart is broken. For if Jesus comes tomorrow, you'd have just one more day. One more day could separate the world. One more day and time may be no longer. One day late for me to show you. One day late for you to listen. For when he comes, he'll give no warning. When it all begins to happen, when he's gone, ascended into heaven, you would not know that you had one more day, one more day, one more day. One more day. One more day. Let me ask you a question on this Easter Sunday morning, April 17, 2022. Are you glad that the coming of the Lord might just be one more day away? Or are you sad because you know that you wouldn't be ready if the coming of the Lord was just one more day away? There is coming a day when there will be lots of great and joyous gladness upon this earth, briefly, that will be carried up to heaven. And at the same time, there's coming a day when there will be horrible and dreadful sadness upon this earth. Gladness for those who were ready when they had one more day, and sad for those who were not ready when they had one more day. My question for each of us to consider today is, which one will it be for you? Will you be sad or will you be glad? As I said a moment ago, the Lord loves you very, 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 very much, and he isn't willing for anyone to perish, but that all to come to be with him. He leaves the choice up to each person. What, or should I say, who do you choose? You and I may only have one more day. Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the promise of eternal life. Lord, I thank you that you have provided a way for us to be saved from our sins. You have provided a way for us to live on this life and live in this life and then pass away and then spend eternity in heaven in the place that you've prepared. Lord, I thank you that you have done everything possible to show us your love, your grace, and your mercy. I pray, God, today that each one of us would examine our hearts and say, Lord, am I looking forward to that day when you come again? Thank you, Lord, for your resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for your ascension. Thank you, Lord, that you're in heaven, and for the last 2,000 years, you've been in preparation for our arrival. Lord, you also said that you would be back. You said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Lord, I pray that all of us are ready today. Oh, heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. Could I just ask you, ma'am, sir, are you ready? Are you ready? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? He loves you so very much. He doesn't want you to live another day in the mess of frogs like in the Old Testament. He doesn't want you to put off another day like Governor Felix. He doesn't want you to wait too long like everybody in Noah's day did. He wants you to give your heart to Him. Worship team is going to sing this morning another song of invitation. If you want to come and pray, these altars are open. If you want someone to pray with you about salvation, you want someone to agree with you and lead you to faith in Christ Jesus, we will be down here at this altar. Pastor Phil and I will be down here, and we will pray with you. These altars are open.
I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my darkest night, you are close like no other. Oh, I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running.
Every breath that I held.
Closing, would you just take the hand of the person next to you? And can I just lead us in a prayer of consecration and a prayer of commitment? Would you pray with me, not only for yourself, but pray with that person whose hand you're holding right now? Father, I come to you and I thank you, Lord, for your goodness that we've sung about. I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. I thank you, Lord, that as I look back on my life, I can see your hand upon me. I thank you, Lord, for keeping me from harm. I'm thanking you, Lord, for helping me make a right decision. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for extending your love and grace to me many, many times. Many, many times, Lord, you said that door is open and you want me to walk through it. And I thank you, Lord, that day that I chose to walk through that door of salvation. And Lord, I just pray for myself. I pray for the friend whose hand I hold right now. I pray, Lord, that you would help us all to agree together, to stay faithful, to stay in the game, to stay in the race until the day you call us home, because we never know, it might be 24 hours from now. We might only have one more day. And I pray, God, that you help us to lift up one another, to love one another, to pray for one another, to be there for one another, to help one another. Lord, we just commit our hearts to you right now. We commit our lives to you right now. We ask you to forgive us of our sins and forgive us where we fail you and where we fall short. Lord, give us your mercy and your grace. We confess you, Jesus, as our Savior right now. You are my Savior and you are my Lord. And I want to look forward to the day that you come back and take me to be with you. I want to hear you say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you this morning. Have a great Easter with your family.